So it's a Monday. What sort of a weekend did you have? Good. I hope so. Were there a few drinks involved? Were there a few drinks more than you intended having involved? And how do you find yourself during the week? Do you find yourself craving a drink maybe by a Wednesday or a Thursday night? We have a strange relationship with alcohol in this country. We really do. You see other countries where the teenagers go out and some might have a cup of coffee, others might have a glass of wine, and that'll be it. They'll sit over for hours. Here, we tend to approach drink very differently, where it's a case of get stuck in, and sure, you're not a man unless you can hold at least 7 or 8 pints, whatever it may be. So, to talk about our relationship with drinking, we're joined in the studio by our friend Richard Burke from safeharbour.ie. Richard, welcome back to the programme.
Thank you.
So, do we have a problem with alcohol in this country?
I suppose the short answer is yes, we do. The alcohol sales are phenomenal in this country. Mm. I suppose we all drink, I drink alcohol as well. We all drink to change how we feel.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to feel relaxed. Mm-hmm. I want to feel social. I want to go and have a chat. I want to feel confident because I want to chat up this girl or I want to chat up this boy or whoever it is in a disco. So we drink to change how we feel. And over the years on your show, I've been describing your mind in different ways. Like, there's like an iceberg, it's like a computer system, and it's like an elephant. Do you remember I said that to you before?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So imagine that your rider, conscious mind being like the rider and your subconscious mind being like the elephant.
Yeah.
If the elephant has an awful lot of things going on, your subconscious mind, there's an awful lot of feelings and emotions and thoughts and problems and stuff, and he wants to constantly talk to you.
Mm.
Then when you drink an awful lot of alcohol, he goes quiet.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go, he's quiet.
He's quiet, yeah.
And then you start to learn that the alcohol generates this quietness.
Mm.
And this is why, it's not a problem at first,
but
you put a couple of years or a decade,
mm-hmm.
And then the alcohol problems start to set in, because then the alcohol starts to abuse you.
Right.
It becomes a program. You can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm. So if that is the relationship that a lot of us have with alcohol, how do you break that link? I mean,
you try and find you make a list of things that alcohol actually does for you.
Yeah.
So like, there's nothing wrong with, see, there's a couple of sort of drinkers. If you're a student and you go to the weekend and you go on a big binge and all the rest, okay, health wise, it's not going to be best for you.
Yeah.
But we accept that's what people are going to do. You don't drink for the rest of the week, then that's fine. But if you're kind of using alcohol as an external substance to yourself to help cope with stress. And it's quite insidious. Mm-hmm. And we all do it. You have a glass of wine with your dinner, et cetera, et cetera. But what happens is it builds and builds and builds over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has physiological effects on our bodies, as you know. Mm-hmm. But it also has psychological effects on our body, or psychological effects.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose the question is to ask yourself, what is the alcohol doing for me?
Yeah.
Well, it's helping me be social. Fine. That ticks that box. It's no big deal. Well, it's helping me actually deal with stress.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different problem. Because now it's... There will always be stress in your life.
Yes.
And the stress doesn't go away. Mm. And you feel better because you drink.
Mm.
So exercise, talking to your friends, going to counselling, trying to figure out your problems, talk to somebody like me, whatever it is, you need to find some other way of doing what the alcohol is doing for you,
yeah.
If it's a problem.
But I suppose there is a situation where, like on a Friday night, and like an alcohol used properly is a great drug. Let's get that kind of out on the table.
Yeah.
You come home and, no, it is.
Yeah, of course.
After working on a Friday evening, like, you know, you go and you have a couple of pints, or you know, you go out on a Saturday, whatever. But I suppose it is when you find yourself doing this 3-4 times a week as opposed to once or twice a week that you kind of think, okay, what's going on here? So, but if you still want to continue having a couple of drinks, can you reduce the amount some people can't.
Some people just need to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Some people just need to say, look, I can't cope with the dipping and diving in and using alcohol, because alcohol is starting to use me.
Mm.
And you start across the line. And when you cross the line, when you feel compelled to drink it and you don't really particularly want to drink it, then that's a problem, because it's a very secret problem. It's something that you particularly if people don't know you're drinking. If you're drinking secretly and people don't know it, then that's another problem.
Yeah,
but there is a checklist you can go through to know if it's a problem or not. But there is lots of help out there.
Yeah.
And at the very, very early stages, a person like myself can help with alcohol issues, because it's usually not the alcohol per se at the start. The alcohol is masking something else.
Yes.
So if you have a voice in your head and the alcohol helps that voice go away,
mm.
then you're on the kind of starting of the road down to a more serious problem.
Of course you are, yeah.
And as the further down that road you go, you can't really dip in and out of it.
Yeah.
You get to a point whereby you just can't drink at all.
Yeah. Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does, of course. Yeah, yeah. And then I suppose that's
the catch it earlier on.
Yeah, that's the AA's approach. Then when you go to them, like, you know, it's abstinence. So that's a zero alcohol policy. But so then they have this 12 steps that they kind of help you through. So what's involved?
It's the 12 steps can take quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But at this stage you're at the stage where you're actually an alcohol abuser.
Mm-hmm.
You're at the stage whereby you have to actually stop because you have a dysfunctional relationship with alcohol. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is a suppressant. It depresses your system.
Yeah.
So it'll suppress your fears. It'll suppress your inhibitions because you want to talk to a girl. It'll suppress those thoughts in your mind. Mm. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with alcohol. I drink alcohol. Yeah. But the problem is when it starts to become the way that you cope, then it's a problem.
Yeah.
And so if you listen to this today, and if alcohol is becoming the way that you cope, then it can just be an early problem. And you can start to deal with those issues and then still have a relationship with alcohol that's still social.
Okay.
But if you continue to use it as a way of coping for a long period of time, it becomes so deeply embedded in you, both psychologically and physically, that you then have to actually cut yourself off it.
Yeah.
And it can be done, and people do it. You don't have to have alcohol in your life. Yeah. You don't have to have cigarettes in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
You do have to have food in your life. Uh-huh. So it's very often food disorders can be actually more complex
to deal with,
because you can't just have abstinence from food.
No.
So it's a mixed bag.
Very interesting indeed. Richard, as ever, fascinating talking to you. Thanks a million for that. We'll talk to you again next week. Richard Burke there from safeharbor.ie.